Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome everyone. Bounce down, Chicks Talking Footy, Wednesday night, round 16 complete. I'm Danae, I'm joined by Bree. G'day, Tiger.
Hi, how are we all?
We're good. Well, I'm speaking for me and for you, Beck. How
Hello.
Are you going, Crow?
I'm good too.
And I'm a docker, just so that we get things sorted out. Hat tip to the skipper. Fee is off sunning herself on the Gold Coast, perhaps getting a new tattoo, getting ready for the fourth Premiership Cup to be put on her arm, I'm not sure.
Getting a spot in the Gold Coast team because they're running out of players.
Oh, yes. We will talk about injuries as we go through the review of the round. We will talk about what's coming up in round 17, and in between we will talk about some news in the space of women in football. So we've got 29 minutes of Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. You can send us a message. Yes, many, many, many platforms, but go for 0427 Joy 949, or you can like us on Facebook and join us, because Beck, I think you've got the whole crew, your whole family, the Crow crew.
I do.
Liking Chicks Talking Footy, and we'll talk about how you can subscribe to the podcast later. Okay, first things first, round 16 is done, and I have noticed, gals, that at this time of year, the commentariat get a little stale, and they start to talk about how long the season is and who needs to retire and who's injured. Have you noticed that?
Well, not us. We're not stale.
We're not the commentariat either.
No. Well, you know. I think it does happen. I think there's a slump after, you know, you have the first few rounds, you work out who's good, who's bad, who's in between, and then we kind of, it's not quite finals excitement yet, and there is this real spot in the middle where no one really knows what to do.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that I think that the final eight's already settled, so.
Does that bother you?
It bothers me. I'm a Richmond fan, yeah. And there's still, how many rounds to go? Seven? Six? Yeah.
How do you feel about the byes?
I don't mind them, but, I mean, it does make the weekend a bit slow.
Six games. How greedy are we?
Very.
Very, very good.
I prefer it. I must say, I prefer having six games than having a week of nothing.
That's true.
Okay, you can always go and watch your local football on the weeks that there is no AFL competition. But people, it's such a ritual and part of our culture. It's difficult for some people to prise themselves away from that.
I think that's right. And then, you know, we throw in the Thursday night games and there's...
Okay, so I think we're on to the fourth Thursday night in a row.
Yeah, I think that's right. Tomorrow's the last one, I think.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I like to go to bed early, so I don't feel that good about it. But I think as a concept, it's probably not bad.
It's better than Monday night football.
Yeah, I agree. It's better than Monday. I have to consciously remind myself to put my tips in advance for a Thursday. That throws me out a little bit. But I do prefer it over Monday, definitely.
And speaking of tips, I don't tip, as we know, but from memory, if you don't get your tips in, do you get all the away teams?
Depends on the competition.
Okay.
You do in my competition, but I know others, you get nothing or...
Yeah, I run my competition by the app, so you get nothing.
Okay.
If you miss a game...
Yes.
Yep.
Are you winning your own comp?
I'm level. I've been leading up until this point, and I slipped up... I picked North Melbourne. Can you believe it? I picked North Melbourne over West Coast in WA. Mm. I must have had a brain fade anyway.
No, I don't think that was an unreasonable assertion.
Yeah, given that West Coast are flat track bullies.
That's right.
Yes, I thought there were a chance, but no, they didn't get up, so now I'm level.
Well, in the first couple of games, the away teams won in round 16. And at round 16, Crow, is your team where you thought it would be? Beck, you know, I'm
going to do anything.
Interchange.
I actually think we're better than I thought we would be. I mean, last year was a, you know, disastrously hard year for the club. And I think I worried that some of the success in the finals was emotion driven rather than perhaps an indication of where we were at and then losing Dangerfield. So I'm really excited about where they're at. They're a lot better than I actually expected them to be.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I saw the West Western Bulldogs Adelaide Crows final last year, and it just looked like football that could be sustained. Mm. Might leak a few goals, but that forward line is just the glamour forward line. Never mind the Giants and their hair. Betts, Walker, and Jenkins.
Yep. It's Tom Lynch.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Charlie Cameron.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. I could go on.
Yeah, but we'll get back to that. Tiger, are you where you thought you would be at the end of round 16, 2016?
Well, it depends what kind of Richmond supporter you ask. I think a lot of Richmond supporters would say probably not. You know, given the last 3 years we've played consecutive finals, and where they rated their list and how they've attacked their recruiting strategy, they haven't really landed anybody of note. Yaron hasn't quite worked out this year, but hopefully he will long term.
Yeah.
But then you ask some of the other Richmond supporters and they kind of feel as though we may have played above ourselves in the last couple of years, even though we didn't win a final. So we might be where we thought we are. So, yeah, not sure.
And for me, as a Fremantle Docker follower, I thought from the middle of last year we were falling off the cliff that the coach Ross Lyon didn't think we were going to fall off. So I'm without Sanderland's Fife, Johnson, and the retirement of Luke McFarlane, after about round three, I'm not really surprised that we're in the bottom four. But I'm on one hand deeply disappointed, and on the other hand, really, really relaxed.
That's true. There's no pressure.
No pressure. That's true. I have enjoyed football without the lens of anxiety this year, so it's been pretty good. So I watched a little of Hawthorn and Port. Thought it was a pretty decent game.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first half, and then the Hawks really just pulled away after that, which meant I could go to bed, so that was pleasing for me.
And the Cats lost at home against the Sydney Swans. Did you get that in your tipping, Bree?
No, I picked Geelong, but I was very pleased. I love the Swans. Can I just share that with everyone?
Yeah, okay.
I love the Swans.
Cool.
I love John Longmire. I think he's a really underrated coach. And he's learnt from the best, I think, in Paul Roux. So I really rate the Swans. So I'm pleased that they won.
Give me your fun fact.
I'm full of fun facts this week. My fun fact for this game is that Buddy had never played an AFL game at Simmons Stadium before Friday. I know, there's looks of shock all around the studio.
He's played more than 200 games, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he'd played against Geelong 13 matches at the MCG, assumingly when he was a Hawk, twice at Etihad, and once each at the SCG, ANZ and Aurora.
Right.
I know.
I feel like Fremantle played Geelong at Simmons Stadium every second week. moving on, Pies versus GWS. That was a little bit of an unexpected result, wasn't it? Collingwood 19-11 beat the Giants 14-9, so pretty convincing win.
And the Giants dropped from third to seventh after that.
Yeah, well, it's a very tight eight, isn't it? Gold Coast lost their game. Gold Coast beat the Brisbane Lions but lost Gary Ablett.
Yeah, for the third year in a row early in the season. But I think on top of that, I kind of feel for the Gold Coast because it looks like they've lost Riscatelli as well. And I think with both of them, they've lost their leadership. And for a team that's a bit at sea anyway, I think that's going to have a huge impact on them.
Yeah, very disappointing. Melbourne beat Fremantle in Darwin in the Northern Territory, finally getting a payoff for selling their home games, beating the Dockers. The Tigers lost a close one against the Bulldogs.
They did, but I was really pleased with their effort on the night. I thought the Bulldogs are a really classy outfit, and we led for most of that game, actually, and it wasn't until the last quarter that the Dogs, you know, got a couple in a row. So we had a couple of Markov was our debutant this week, and he was really classy off halfback. He had about 19 possessions in his first game, so they were wrapped with him. And Georgie Castagna, we call him. His name's Jason Castagna, but they call him Georgie from Seinfeld. He was great too. So look out for a couple of youngsters who might embed themselves into that senior team.
That's what there is to look forward to if
you're
not in the top eight. Yeah. And on Sunday, the West Coast beat Norths, as we mentioned before, but at the MCG, back, you would have had a rare opportunity to watch your club play in Melbourne.
I know. And we had, well, actually, we've had two games of the MCG in a row, which is quite a treat for us. But it was our seventh win in a row, which was exciting. But I have to say, one of my favourite moments, even as a Crow supporter, was when Jack Silvani kicked his first goal. I just want to put him in my pocket and carry him around. He's so cute. And, you know, his mum was the lady on sale this century. Like, there's a beautiful history of stuff there.
And he wears the long sleeves, which is great. He's not as tall as his dad or his granddad at
no,
this stage.
No, he's pretty little. But, I mean, he's only, what, 18?
He's just 18.
He can grow.
Yeah, yeah. And on Sunday, St Kilda 17-7 beat Essendon 14-14. So straight shooting won that game. Mm. Saints must be feeling pretty happy with themselves, I think, this year.
Yeah, and I think the other, speaking of straight shooting though, I think Joe Danaher probably took mark of a couple of years and then missed the easiest goal in the world after he took it, so.
He is a long drink of water, isn't he?
Bless him.
Yeah, bless him. Joe Danaher, he was at the Purple Bombers stand-up for Ida Hobbit.
I actually chased him around the room to get a photo with him and we couldn't both fit in the same frame. He was that tall. So the photo of the top of his head cut off.
The mind boggles. Mm. You have a Crow, a Docker and a Tiger, and we are Chicks Talking Footy on a Wednesday night.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
And you can send a message on 0427 Joy 949. I think it's okay to say it's cold in Melbourne. I think it's officially okay to talk about the weather. But I was in Perth last week and it was cold there too. But one of the benefits of being in Perth is the time difference when it comes to watching Friday night football. I stayed awake for the whole game. and I had missed some of the build-up. It was Sydney and
Geelong.
Mm-hmm. What I had noticed was that in the West Australian newspaper, there is one daily newspaper in the West, there was a big to-do about Kieran Jack and some off-field matters because his partner is a West Australian. So the parochial news media had...
Perth's own.
Yeah, Perth's own. Yeah. So there's never missed an opportunity for Perth's own. But what I noticed during the game is that Channel 7 managed to talk about the fact that there was something that no one was talking about. And if you didn't know what it was about, you wouldn't have known by the end of the game. But they still managed to talk about it, just like I am now. So I feel a little hypocritical here. But however, what I really noticed that I liked was that even though I thought Kieran Jack was perhaps chasing a little glory at the end of the game, trying to get that third goal, perhaps he was leading from the front or perhaps he was chasing glory. I don't know. But when he came off the field, Brett Kirk, who's back from the Dockers back at Sydney as an assistant coach, gave him the biggest hug of all time. And I thought, oh, I miss Kirky.
Mm.
Fremantle misses Kirky. Anyone who has him in their club benefits. So that's my little, you know, kind of two bits about the off-field drama, which I think back to what we were talking originally at this time of year, the football loses a little focus and we start to talk about what's going on off the field.
Yeah, I think that's probably very accurate.
Well, we're talking about Travis Cloke's glove this week as well, aren't we? So it must be a slow news week.
Tell me that story.
So apparently he wore an illegal glove.
Unsanctioned, I think is the term.
Yes. Mm. It wasn't his normal Nike brand glove. And as such, Collingwood has been fined $1,500 this week. Yeah.
So that's – and we have greater questions, don't we, Crow?
We do. We do. I want to know where the money goes. When people get fined, is it in the AFL, you know, end of season trip fund? Where is it to a good cause, which is where I hope it is.
A swear jar?
That's a good idea, actually.
Is it propping up Brisbane and North Melbourne?
Is it going to the, you know, Swans Academy? Could be going anywhere.
Is it going to the Women's League?
$1,500 would buy the first aid equipment you need for a season for Collingwood's women's football team that starts up next year.
That's right. I'm going to get my investigative journalism hat on and see if I can find out.
And who pays the fine?
Mm.
Does Travis dig into his own pocket? Is it Collingwood? Is it Eddie? I mean, God, we've had so many opportunities to find Eddie.
I don't think Trav has to put his own glove in his pocket, actually.
Ah, nice. you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. I'm Danae, and Bree, you're a tiger, aren't you?
I am. And passionate.
And Beck is a crow, who's not crowing about their position in the eight, but I'm right behind you, by
just
the way.
Just keeping a lid on it.
Speaking of positions in the eight, there is only 4 weeks or so in most of the women's football competitions around the country this year, and I put the investigative journalism skills of the Tiger onto it. And so let us know who's on top in Victoria.
So on top in the women's league in the Premier Division is Bendigo, and they're undefeated.
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 10 rounds, I think?
10 or 11.
Okay.
Yep.
And who's next?
And then underneath Bendigo, we've got Melbourne Uni, and I think they play each other this week.
This weekend. So
that's right. Top of the table clash.
Chicks Talking Footy's own nuggety halfback flanker, Cecilia McIntosh, will be playing against Bendigo for the top spot. Well, maybe finals favouritism. So it's 4 weeks away. Yep. What about New South Wales ACT? Have they got many teams?
They've got six, actually. But the Sydney League, New South Wales ACT League, is they've got so many divisions. It's wonderful.
Great.
It's not just the Premier or Division One. They've got about six divisions. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Division One, just for everyone's information, they've got 11 teams in Division One. But in their Premier Division, they've got six. And on top at the moment, we've got Sydney Uni. Actually, they're level. They're level on top with University of New South Wales.
Okay, so the unis have got
the unis.
Talent.
Yeah, they must have all the resources, do they?
I would suspect so, yeah. Yeah. Smart and athletic.
Smart and athletic.
There's so few of us around these days.
And then the WA League, that was a little bit harder to find, but we got there. And on top in the WA League are the Coastal Titans, and they've got 10 wins at the minute, so they're just cruising cool. along. They're three games clear on top.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. The Claremont Piranhas at the bottom of the ladder. I played one season at fullback in 1991 or two. I can't even remember. I think we won one game. But my legacy with that club is that I helped come up with the nickname. So the Piranhas. That's got to be an unusual name. It's got nothing to do with anything. But there you go. Yes. Good news in women in football, and it keeps on giving this year. It's been fantastic. Firstly, I'd like to say that, as we said last week, I think, Michelle Cowan, the Melbourne coach, has been appointed as the Fremantle Dockers coach for 2017. And for family reasons, that's an extra good decision for Michelle. So she has been based in WA for some time. That's where her family is. I'm pretty excited about that.
And she's the third coach, I think, appointed in the women's league, but the first woman.
She's two women.
She's so powerful. That's right. She's that good.
And she, Brisbane Lions, Craig Starcevich, which is no surprise, and Carlton have announced Damien Keeping, who I don't know much about. Michelle Cowan is the first woman to be appointed as a coach. So that's three out of the eight. So there's five teams yet to announce. Yes.
We were just talking about buys before, and I think if we were to go back to having a week without football, they could really build up that week with women's football, couldn't
they? That'd be great.
They could have like a women's carnival. It would be fantastic.
That'd be great, because the inaugural competition is in February, March next year, and will end as the season, the AFL men's season, is beginning. I liked what Michelle Cowan said. Women have been playing the game for over 100 years now, and it's great that we have a complete pathway and girls get the opportunity to represent an AFL club. Just a little reminder, in a really nicely put way, that, yes, we've been doing it for a long time, but it seems the last 5 minutes other people have noticed. And there is good news about September the 3rd.
Yeah, under lights, Witten Oval. Bulldogs, Demons.
Yep, so the Western Bulldogs and Melbourne Demons will be playing for the Hampson Hardiman Cup. Wow, that's really rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? It's the 10th and final AFL Women's Series exhibition game of the year, Saturday, September the 3rd, from 7:20. as Bree said, excuse me, it's under lights at Witten Oval.
And what a great thing to do with the week off between the end of the regular season and the finals.
Perfect. The last time I was at Witten Oval under lights, I was playing a bit of footy, but that was because I was at a wedding and dancing inside football on the oval outside.
Sounds like a good wedding.
Greatest wedding of all time. Well, equal first with – anyway, never mind. I don't want to upset my friends. Hampson Hardiman Cup is named after female football pioneers Barb Hampson and Lisa Hardiman, who developed the first women's championships in 1998. So yay for that. And the game will be broadcast live by the Seven Network nationally and will be streamed on afl.com.au. One last little kicker, a youth girls match will be played as curtain raiser and you can enjoy a kick on the ground after the game.
Excellent. I love that.
It's all good. So you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We've got some great ideas for what to do with bye rounds, what to talk about when your team is not looking like it's going to be in the eight. When we first started way back in April, we talked about where you like to watch the football if you're not at the game. So for me, we are the House of the Heave Hoes, and I watch it with the only other two people I know in Melbourne who like football, like Fremantle football. I often have to go to a pub to watch a game because it's not live. Say it's Fremantle and Adelaide, nobody in Melbourne cares. So it's not on free-to-air TV, and I don't have subscription television because I would never leave the house. So where did you see the game on the weekend, Bree?
Well, I went to the Terminus Hotel, and which I love, in Clifton Hill.
Yep, great spot. You're a Northsider.
Northsider, great spot. Fiona was there. We had a friend's birthday and I was there with a couple of uni mates and a couple of our friends were Demon supporters.
Long-suffering, you have to say, when you say
Demon. Long-suffering, you know, and they're playing up in Darwin, they're playing Fremantle, kind of a, you know, a good prospect of winning game. And the games were like half an hour apart. And the Terminus Hotel, which I didn't know, the TVs are linked.
Ah.
So the group was out the back and I went inside, but the TV I was in front of trying to watch the Tigers game was linked to the outside TV and they'd booked it for the Melbourne game. Yeah. So I couldn't actually watch the Tigers game and I was the only Tiger in the pub. There was a couple of Demon supporters, so I felt outnumbered. So I just went, I didn't want to upset the crowd, didn't want to upset my friends. So I let them watch and enjoy their Melbourne victory. And then I caught up with
the
how Richmond.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by replay.
Jack Rewell, if you're listening, Bree still loves you. It's not a personal attack.
That's right.
So now let me just get this right. This game, Bulldogs.
Richmond
was being played in Melbourne.
Yes.
You live in Melbourne.
Yes.
You weren't there.
It was a Bulldogs home game. I feel very strongly about my money going to my club.
Oh, no. Barley's.
Yeah.
Yeah, end of conversation. You're talking to a West Australian, South Australian who get games a year.
Yeah, nice.
But I understand. Okay. I respect your decision. Yeah. I just think it's bollocks. So, Crow, you went to the game, but you got a bit more than just a game of footy, didn't you?
I did, because I'm fancy. So I went to the pre-game function.
Brilliant.
Which was fabulous. But the highlight was that our coach Dom Pike came and spoke and he's not a real media kind of man. So it was really interesting to hear him speak. And a lot of what he said was very reminiscent of Phil Walsh's mentality, that just play the game, get on with it, you know. So that was really good, I think, to hear that there probably had been that consistency and he was just really keeping a lid on it. He just said, you know what, we're doing well, but there's this and this and this we can fix and all right, I've got to go and coach the boys now. And I kind of liked that. Yeah.
Excellent. And I watched my team play in Darwin on the telly. I will preview the round ahead next.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Round 16 has gone and round 17 lies ahead. It's a full round. It starts on Thursday night because we can't get enough of the Thursday night. Sydney Swans versus Hawthorn at the SCG, possibly the game of the round. How are you feeling about that?
I'm excited. I know it's Thursday night, but I might stay awake for the whole thing.
I love the Swans, so I'm looking forward to this.
Brilliant, me too. Friday, Fremantle have taken on Carlton's role as being the Friday night flogs from last year, so no one needs to watch that. On Saturday, it's the clash of the sash, Richmond versus Essendon. Are you feeling confident, Tiger?
I am, and I will be at the game. It's a Richmond home game.
Excellent.
Do you know what I reckon is exciting about that? That Richmond and Essendon are both playing some good young players, and there might be some exciting stuff to watch in that.
Yeah.
I agree. North versus Port. I know the crow next to me cares less. Mm-hmm. Western Bulldogs versus Gold Coast Suns on Saturday. An easy one for the Dogs, I suspect.
Yeah, although I'm interested to see how their little small defence stacks up against Tom Lynch and 2 metre Peter.
Adelaide Crows versus Collingwood.
Yes, happy 300th game, Scott Thompson, the people's biceps.
Carlton versus West Coast on Sunday. Again, there's not a lot of love in this room for that game. St Kilda versus Melbourne, I'm looking forward to that. What about you, Tiger?
Go D's.
And Brisbane Lions versus the Giants wraps it up on Sunday, and we think the Giants will walk that in. That's a wrap for Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 949. And you can like us on Facebook. Please do. Subscribe to the podcast. Go to joy.org.au, Chicks Talking Footy. Thanks, Tiger. Thanks, Crow.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Heave ho.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.